If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Heaven in New Christmas makes new.
Hey, did we shop?
It's a new Christmas. Hunga Bunga.
Do you think that's funny?
13% of the population over half the murder scene.
That's the will. I've got a sense of who she was.
The whole country is Naval 43. The half behind crime statistics aren't lying. Show the news committed robbery.
Do you think that's funny?
We'd be doing just fine if the country was white. But we have dindus, a dindu Christmas. Heaven in New Christmas, motherfucker. It's a new Christmas, hugga booga.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you. Alrighty.
Oh, man.
So, another cringe Christmas classic. I should start calling myself, like, Cringe Kringle. Like, that'll be my new, like, my Christmas song. My Christmas song artist. I'm Cringe Kringle.
You should just put all these songs together on a record and just say, like, Cringe Kringle's Christmas favorites. Like,
that's a good angle. I spell both with a K, right? Cringe Kringle. Just writing
Cringe
that in
Kringle.
There.
Oh, Kringles. Man.
I forgot. So, the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, in front of God and everybody, he said that gorilla had a sense of who she was.
That's what he was?
That gorilla had a
chairman
sense
of the Board of Supervisors?
Who she was. That's what he was, right? The Board of Supervisors. Well,
yeah, he got the chairman position over there.
Well, at least he never got...
didn't last never, very long.
Well, at least he didn't get grenaded out of existence like some other Boards of Supervisors. To talk about your all politics is local. Jesus Christ. I don't know if you want to go right into that.
I guess we could. I mean, I had something else funny, but we can go.
Yeah, go ahead. If you got something funny, we can do that in a minute. What else you got that's funny?
All right, well, small, you know, we've been talking quite a bit about
gay
on this show here. Because, you know,
the president of Harvard.
Quite a bit.
The Negro spiritual president of Harvard. Yeah, right.
So yet another story about
gay
is in the headlines today. So Harvard covered up. Okay, this.
I'm ready.
Let's see if you can get. If you have already seen this, then don't let on.
I haven't seen it. No.
See if you can guess what kinds of things that
Gay
was doing in her academic career prior to becoming president of Harvard. It's something that you look under the hood of a black person's academic career and you find this lurking almost
cheating,
everywhere.
Plagiarism.
You got it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say went to a kibbutz.
Huh. Oh, no. That's like any – see, that's not specific to blacks. That's just any politician or major public figure, right? But when you have black academics specifically, you always – this is a rule of thumb, okay? This is how I know that we're right. This is another one of these little things, just these little things that are just these little hits of confirmation bias, these little nuggets of confirmation bias that are just lying out around there. Yeah. And I just see this come up on my Google News today. Harvard covered up secret plagiarism probe into President Claudine Gay during anti-Semitism storm.
I didn't do nothing.
The Post.
Is that was the extent of the probe?
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah. Right. So Harvard University covered up a high-level investigation into whether its controversial president was a plagiarist and used an expensive law firm to threaten the Post over our own probe. So the Post was trying to probe Gay. The college announced – so it's like a gay probe, right? It's
gay.
Right.
Probe.
College announced Tuesday morning that had investigated Claudine –
Gay.
Over whether some of her academic work was plagiarized, and it cleared her of breaching the college's standards for research misconduct. Instead, it said that she would request 4 corrections in 2 publications to insert citations and quotation marks that originally
That's plagiarism! That's fucking... When you have to go in and issue corrections and put in citations, that means you're pretending the cited work is yours. That's fucking plagiarism. This is because she's a nigger, and niggers get off easy because they want to have they want the optics of a nigger president at Harvard. Like, give me a fucking break. This is the only way you can get niggers into anything is you like have to cover up for their egregious crimes that they just can't stop doing. They're like always doing them.
What's the saying? Someone said this in the comments the other day. What's the saying about blacks? We fake it till they make it.
Oof, that's a good one.
Like, we have to fake it till they make
and
it.
And then when they like, don't make and when they fuck it up, you just keep faking.
We keep faking. Never hoping faking. They'll make it. Something like that. It was something funny.
Never going to make it.
But the other thing is that the only way you find out about this is if this black person crosses Jews.
Right. Exactly. Because
if she hadn't annoyed the Jews with her stuff about like it's a contextual situation or whatever, if she wasn't like a context entrepreneur on like Intifada.
Yeah.
Then we would never have found out about this. Because the Post, you better believe the New York Post was going after her like a dog with a bone because of this fucking anti-Semitism.
Yeah, if she had expelled these pro-Palestinian like protesters and anybody else ne'er do wells,
this would all be water under the table. Yeah.
So do they at least use this sort of like history plagiarism as like a cudgel to push people around with, or is this just something that gets deployed in like the aftermath?
My feeling from reading this is that this is something that was embarrassing that came up and Harvard tried to hush it up.
Yeah.
And because of the anti-Semitism stuff, it came out, probably leaked by a Jew to the Post, probably a Jew who's high level Harvard, was probably aware of this and leaked about it to the Post. So the Post started doing their own investigation, looking for leakers. Cause how are you going to, if it's like a confidential investigation by the college, how are you going to find out about it? Only if someone leaks.
Right.
So there was Jews investigating her and leaking to the Post. Right. So that's what was going
on. Right. Yeah. I mean, just it was a true Machiavellian. I would be like, yeah, we know that you did plagiarism. That's why you're going to dance to our tune all the time.
Well, yeah, it's also like they're like all like famous niggers are just kept in a place of precarity where the rug can be pulled out from under them anytime. I mean, look at Kanye West. They had no fucking bones about just pulling $1 billion worth of business ventures out from underneath that guy. And he has a controlling interest in none of it. Like everything is licensing. Everything is, you know, he makes
a junior
partner.
He's literally a fucking high paid employee.
Yeah.
He's literally a wage slave.
So they come around. So yeah, naturally, if you're a black in a high position anywhere, whether it's entertainment, academia, it's just like everything that you have is at the behest, is the pleasure of the Jews to put you there, and they'll take it away if they need to. I mean,
so it says the Post. There's more here. I'm kind of curious. The Post can disclose that Harvard spent weeks failing to come clean about being under investigation, staying quiet, even when she was hauled in front of Congress for disastrous testimony on how the Ivy League college is dealing with anti-Semitism.
Disastrous? What was the disaster?
The disaster was like not just like kicking every Palestine sympathizer out of Harvard.
That feeling like the Steve Urkel lady like has a better grip on like people's constitutional rights than like the Congress critters that are like yelling at her. It's like, yeah, she was right though. Like that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Harvard only disclosed the investigation when the university's governing body, Harvard Corporation. I knew it. Corporation.
The City of London.
Yeah. When the City of Harvard. Said it unanimously stood behind her despite firestorm of criticism for her evidence to Congress. Harvard's public statement on the allegations of plagiarism came a day after a conservative activist posted questions on X about citation in
gay
1997 PhD dissertation. So I'm kind of wondering, who is the conservative activist? Is this someone that we know?
It's cat turd.
it is Christopher Rufo. So, there was a, he says, okay.
Christopher Rufo will be like, it's not because, it's got nothing to do with her race. It's just, plagiarism's just wrong. It's not because she's black.
He says, first,
gay.
Lists an entire paragraph, nearly verbatim, from a paper by Lawrence Bobo.
Bobo the retard from Opie and Anthony?
Lawrence Bobo.
The David and Bobo show?
And Franklin Gilliam, while passing it off as her own. Paraphrase and language. This is a direct violation of Harvard's policy. When you paraphrase, your task is to distill the source's ideas in your own words. It's not enough to change a few words here and there and leave the rest. Instead, you must completely restate the ideas in the passage in your own words. If your own language is too close to the original, then you are plagiarizing, even if you do provide a citation. That seems a little bit stringent. But as long as you cite it, I would say I don't think there's a problem. As long as it's clear it's not your work, it's someone else's. But anyway, but then you can just quote. If you can't come up with your own words, just put it in quotes, and then no problem, right? But then he says,
"Gay."
Repeats his violation of Harvard's policy throughout the document again, using work from Bobo and Gilliam. That sounds like a fucking circus act.
Bobo and Gilliam.
Bobo and Gilliam. It's like Terry Gilliam with a monkey. It's like a Monty Python thing.
Yeah, it's Terry Gilliam and Bobo from Opie and Anthony singing like
it's Terry Gilliam doing like that.
They're
that
doing
weird
Bruce Springsteen
cut out animation shit that
Bruce
he
Springsteen
do.
Songs together. Yeah.
Oh, Andy.
Those were good bits back in the day. God, those were so
anyway.
So old. I can't even quote one. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So it looks like she's got. Well, I mean, if you go to, I mean, this article is on the Post, and here's Rufo's tweets. If you want to look at some of the, like, he's marked it up. But here's my thing. This, to me, indicates that somebody leaked to Rufo. This is all just from a leaker. There's a Jew investigating.
There's
this
a system
at Harvard
in place for all
that
this.
Just
like they
this
have
out.
This. They have this yeah. network of people yeah. that can do this. This is how this country. Right. This is how this country is run. Like this wasn't like there wasn't some sleuthing done. There wasn't some whistleblower that wanted to right the wrong of academic.
Christopher Rufo did not go and like look up her thesis, read it. And start checking her sources. He did not do
no,
that.
No, he was told.
Somebody might have. But it wasn't him. And in he was just given this shit. And
no
then,
one
like,
no one took like journalistic fucking like I don't know what you would call this. No one was like a journalism entrepreneur here. They were digging for a scoop. It was like this is part of the enforcement nature of the United States of the Jewish run right. like the Jewish run institution. It's like we've got the dirt on you and it's available. And we have people to leak it to, and we have sources, and we have destinations, and this stuff will just get out when we need it, and you're gone.
Yeah. You and know? Amazing that, like, suddenly people who can't get a having, damn thing done, like Chris Rufo and Elise Stefanik, have all this power over you. How'd
and
that
it's
happen?
Like, and it's fun when you have, like, elite niggers, because now you don't even have to go through the, you don't have to Epstein Island niggers. Like, they're just going to do crimes
just,
and
just
have,
wait
like,
for them to fuck something up.
They're just going
to
have, like, unethical activities in their career that you can just call upon when needed. Like, oh, time for you to go. Let's go get this unsighted full paragraph.
Right.
That's how this shit works.
And I'll bet you there is somebody that they have who they're like, oh, she's doing something you don't like. Go through all of her shit. And I would say this. You know, I hate to give them a little hint. They probably already know it. Like anytime if your opponent here is a black person that's in academia, they're going to have plagiarism. Looks like there's quite a bit of it, actually.
Third, gay composes entire
he's
appendix.
He's got these things marked all up.
Entire appendix in the dissertation directly taken from Gary King's book, A Solution to the Ecological Inference Problem, which while she cites King's book later in the appendix, in fact, King was her dissertation advisor, Gay does not explicitly acknowledge that Appendix B is entirely grounded in King's concept and language, instead passing it off as her own original work.
Who's King?
Gay. King. I don't know, King is her...
King Gay.
King Gay.
Is King also a nigger? Probably.
King is definitely a nigger name.
Yeah. As a nigger.
Kang.
We was Kang. We should make them change all their names to Kang.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
These are flagrant violations of the policy, which states students who commit plagiarism will suffer disciplinary action, up to and including requirement to withdraw from the college. The same standard should apply to the university president. I earned a master's degree from Harvard's Knight School.
Yes, yeah, so this is the whole gay op. So RuPaul is basically
Nightstick School.
Like, are we bragging about Knight School now? Like, what? The Harvard has a Knight School program? You're gonna like, be like a single mom, and after you get off work, you can like on the side like get a Harvard degree.
After you're working at Cinnabon, you go and take a class at Harvard.
Yeah. Not nearly as prestigious as the graduate school.
Maybe there are some people that need.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's Daily Shoa. The first half, anyway, with annoying ads interrupting it throughout. You can get away from this by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and signing up for a subscription. You will be treated to the full show on a convenient RSS feed in one giant file. You'll never have to hear these sales pitches again, and you'll get to comment and use the Bang forum. What fun! Join us. therightstuff.biz/paywall.
That, you know, worked during the day. You know?
If I committed these kinds of violations, I would have been expelled. As an alumnus, I'm calling on Claudine Gay to immediately resign from her position.
It's not going to happen.
ChristopherRuffo.com. Is Claudine Gay?
I have a hard time. One thing I don't know, because I never really made it very far in college. In fact, I made it like 2 years or so. And I legitimately never plagiarized, though.
Why didn't we ask, like, is Claudine Gay, a nigger? I mean, look at that face. You look at someone like this, it's like, you have to be, this person should be getting a degree and be wearing that gown in some, like, backwoods cargo pole,
frankly,
like
when
an African
nigger
country.
In a graduation robe, the answer to that question is yes, they are plagiarists.
Yeah. They're not being plagiarists. They're just, like, the beneficiaries of a ridiculous, just, like, bottom-up, just equalizing the playing field system that this country runs.
I am legitimately curious, though, how often in academic papers at that level you'll get like 4 or 5 instances of an unfortunate paraphrase without quotes and without a citation. It seems like it's egregious, but I don't know. You know what I mean? I would need someone to tell me, someone who's more familiar with academia at that level, which I am absolutely not. I dropped out of Rutgers University.
Though Gay does provide a reference to the original authors, she uses their verbatim language with a few trivial synonym substitutions without providing quotation marks.
See, that seems wrong. That seems like something you should do.
I put in my own words. I got my thesaurus. Got your thesaurus. Change a couple words. It's my own. Gay's use of Swain's material is a straightforward violation of the university's rule on verbatim plagiarism, which states that one must give credit to the author of the source material either by placing the source material in quotes or providing a clear citation, or by paraphrasing the source material and providing a clear citation, neither of which Gay follows. It's just lifted text entirely.
Yeah, you're really not supposed to do that, and that seems like pretty avoidable. And you wonder, like, why do it? Because if you don't do it elsewhere... Like, what is it really important that these particular, I don't know, I just sort of wondered the mindset of somebody who's like, why not just do the little bit of extra work that it would require to not do this, but I guess we're dealing with a black person.
You're dealing with
so
niggers. It's like, why would you do that?
Right.
So I got news for you about niggers.
They don't like to work.
Seems like you just save yourself hassle, like just put quotation marks around that if you're lifting the text, like that, you're allowed to do that.
So
you can quote other people in your shit.
So I'm sure like Rufo never goes anywhere near the fact that it's because it's a nigger, like...
And it's because it's a nigger that is Jews are mad at.
Right.
Well, see, here's what I think Rufo is hoping that you'll fill in the blanks with nigger. He's sort of like leaving that dangling. Because that's kind of what I think he is.
I don't give him that kind of secretly based credit. Like, I think he literally just wants an anti-Semite removed from Avid.
He works for Manhattan Institute.
I wouldn't go to night school under this woman.
Right. So he works for the Manhattan Institute, and he even says in his tweet, more reporting tomorrow in City Journal. City Journal is a publication of the Manhattan Institute. Manhattan Institute's chair is Paul Singer. At least it was last I checked. I think it's a Jewish thing. So that's
the Manhattan Project.
That's why he's doing it. I mean, that's exactly the perfect place to leak all this shit.
Yeah.
And of course, a Jew who's going to leak, a Jew who's knowledgeable about this investigation and this controversy, who's maybe part of the investigating team, who's going to leak, is not going to want to leak to Sean Hannity or right. Fox News. No, they'll leak to City Journal because that's run by conservatives.
Didn't you say it was also New York Post, though? Like, New York Post is another, like, watch, you know, that's a...
The New York Post is super Zionist paper. Yeah, and but it's also like somebody leaked to them too.
But it's also like, as the New York Post, we're not super Zionist. We're just owning the libtards here. Look at these libtards in Harvard.
Right, right, right. And also, libtards, like, frankly, they play a lot on heavily like implications of racism and stuff too.
Right.
Like the New York Post is stepping up to that line of like, look at this dumb nigger, and not quite stepping over it, but is like inviting you.
Look at this dumb nigger. What happens if she hits a rabbi with a brick and fucking?
And they're all doing the thing of like, if they're not like openly racial, they're like, it should be meritocracy. Like selections shouldn't be race based. I'm like, but how come every time you do a race based selection for a nigger, you get somebody that's stupid? Like, you know. If you were to say, like, we're going to do a racist policy where we select for whites over niggers, like, you would just get more competent people.
Yeah. Whites win, like, the meritocracy.
Right.
That's sort of meritocracy
within white people gets you better people. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just sort of funny that it also seems like really petty, because this is the kind of thing that I bet you they would have absolutely just hushed right up. In order to have like their, you know, their lesbian nigger looking president, like whatever, that's just incredibly off putting looking and just alien, walks around looking like a fucking alien and shit.
Yeah, but I mean, think about who's in control of Chicago.
Someone's asking, would her PhD also be rescinded? No answer.
Oh, they got a couple of the white libtards here that she ripped off. So it says one of the academics whose work Gay's closely paralleled is George Reed Andrews. He said it did not rise to the level of plagiarism. Ann Williamson of Miami University said she was shocked by the parallels to her work and one of Gay's papers and said, it does look like plagiarism to me. Wow. So white male libtard is like more of a cuck.
Do I still have that? Remember, like, can you lend a nigga a pencil? It's more like, can you lend a nigga a dissertation?
Yeah, can you lend
a nigga a thesis?
can you lend a nigga a citation?
Can you lend a nigga a paragraph? nigga.
Can you lend a nigga a paraphrase?
Artist.
Can you lend a nigga a pencil?
Can you lend a nigga a thesis? Can you lend a nigga an appendix? Shit, I had my appendix out already.
Can you lend a nigga a pencil?
I love that shit.
That's like what Claudine Gay said when she was going to go insert quotation marks into her fucking dissertation.
Yeah, right. Let me just pencil these in right here. God.
Have you ever, like, seen the original of that?
Of
where that comes from?
Of what? Where what comes from?
That quote, the lend a nigga a pencil.
Oh, yeah, the old news report. Nigga. Right? He's talking about, like, what the black students.
It's just a classic meme. I don't know.
Yeah, he's talking about black students. I was reading, as you all know, I'm a huge Reddit cuck now. I love Reddit. I was suggested a few stories from our, like, teachers and our teaching or something like that. You want to? Mm-hmm. What do you bet Reddit like sent to me to go peruse from like the teachers subreddits? What do you think the teachers are writing long stories about on Reddit about? What do you think?
Oh, how badly behaved their students are?
No. It's about how hot like the 15-year-old boy is that's in their class.
No, surprisingly, that's not on there. I don't want any adult content in mine. No, it's basically like, how do I stop these like 8-year-old students from just like fucking beating up everyone with no, you know, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Seducing like the young male students.
It's basically like a racially sanitized horror stories of just like violence in class and how they don't know what to do about it because no, like, I read one where it was like a nigger beat up the principal. And this teacher's like, I don't know what to do.
Like an 8 year old?
Yeah. Like an 8 to 10 year old nigger.
Well, that you have like 5 year olds shooting their teachers and shit. And, you know, that's funny because I actually did get that one right. I want to.
Oh yeah, you did. You said you said poorly behaved. I'm like, but beyond that, like fucking like criminal.
But
like,
I was using the kind of language that I thought they would use, but they're not even using that anymore.
They're just not saying anybody's black. They're not talking about race. They're just talking about like, I've got a class full of kids that like I can't control, and they're always fucking beating each other up and beating up school officials, and I can't get. Like, the principal got beat up the other day. It was just hilarious shit. And it's just like, because it's Reddit, you can't go in there and be like, are these people just all niggers?
Well, the funniest thing about that is that you could probably construct a insinuation that would make it through whatever filters, automatic filters Reddit has. But a mod would pick up on it like that, right?
Right.
Like, so, you know, it's sort of like, why? How did you know that's what I meant? I mean, we always do this bit, right?
Where it's
like, because again, when those guys were down in Nashville for the protest, there was a Reddit, a local Nashville Reddit that said, like, why don't they go and do this in Newark? And so with my Reddit account, I did the usual, which was, why Newark?
Yeah. What happens in Newark?
Can you explain?
What would go on?
Can you explain why you specifically chose Newark? Not that, like, I think, well, Nashville, I think, is, if you were talking about Memphis, then Memphis and Newark are probably in the same boat, with Memphis probably being a bigger city, I think. But, like, it's like, so why do you say Newark? I mean, this old gag, right? Like, this gag has been around forever. And it's sort of like if you were to talk about whatever, I don't know, like, if you were to drop a hint, like, that you understood that those kids were black that were doing the badly behaving, someone's doing the behaving. You would get a ban even if you didn't actually say nigger. You probably can't even say black. So I don't know. They all know it. They have to know it. I know that they know it, and they talk about it amongst themselves, and they regret it, and they wish it was different. And they don't know what to do, and they're at the end of their rope. But then eventually what they do is they just quit because nobody can deal with these niggers.
Yeah. I sent Sven an example of an epic American Christian victory.
Yeah, I saw that.
See it?
Yeah, it was
amazing.
I was hoping I could find this teacher post, but I can't.
Would actually be fantastic. If that would be really good content to read that for a while. I have a similar story.
You also
about
have this.
That,
well,
while you're looking.
Alex's little thing right here is pretty funny. So this is Michael Cassidy. Oh God, this from the you're sending me end wokeness tweets. Michael,
oh,
just,
I think I saw something. Like
Michael
this.
Just tore down and beheaded the Satan idol that was erected in the Iowa Capitol. Not all heroes wear a cape, so I guess this is in the Iowa Capitol. That's pretty based. Like, these guys are like Merciful Fate fans.
Yeah, I'm
in,
like
Iowa.
Fine with him doing that because like fuck you, like get your stupid fucking troll. Because it's not even like. I'm offended religiously. I'm offended because it's a bad troll.
I just think it's kind of metal. It's too bad that everybody put that up there.
The thing is, at the point where you've got like satanic stuff inside the Capitol building, you lost. Sorry.
Like you got trolled into doing that, and so
Satan was cooler in the 80s.
Like
though,
for
bro.
Whatever reason,
this is gay.
It doesn't offend me on like a religious level. It offends me on the level of like you wanted to do it, and like you were, you know, it's like the fact that. The fact that you pressed this issue at all.
Is there a menorah anywhere in that building?
I'm sure. It should be right there with the Baphomet.
Now, the guy who did it was a former Navy pilot, which it's a little bit of irony to the situation if you think about it.
Well, it's like, you know, you flew planes and jets for the regime that does these things.
For the great Satan.
I don't know why.
And then you, you topple down a little
now
Satan.
You have now you have Satan at home, right?
So I don't know like, why this is in the replies, but it's Taylor Swift and... John Nada puts on the glasses, and she's an alien, and says, vote Biden. I don't get it.
I mean, it's just something that's for boomers that are... It's just something for senile people.
Wild.
I don't know. But yeah, I did see that thing, and I don't know. Is there a video of it? That would be good if there was a video of that, but I guess not.
He was arrested for he was arrested for this act of bravery. We need to commend this man. I'm so sick of Christians being complacent. on the dismantling of our religion. It's time to stand up like Michael Cassidy. Follow us if you agree. And that's from Right Angle News Network.
Stand up like this guy and just destroy a pointless effigy and then think you've done something? And then catch a couple criminal charges for all your trouble? All right.
I hate to be such a no fun fact, but literally, like, is there a fucking nativity scene and a menorah next to it in front of the Capitol? I'm sure there is. I'm sure that there fucking is. Like,
they did it, and I also don't give a shit. Because at some point, you have to be able to say, nah.
Just have a King Diamond
concert. We can have the Satan symbol, and we can have the nativity scene, but no menorah.
Jesus. All right, that's going to be popular. That's going to go over well.
You know what?
Merry Christmas.
That's what the Church of Satan should do if it was like a proper Church of Satan. It's like, get these fucking menorahs out of here. I want to have my satanic.
If they really wanted to troll.
The Church of Satan is just a standard fuck party, though. It's just like trannies.
Well, it's also just Jews. It's like Jews and Michelings, right?
They've set it free. It's just like furries and stuff. Like Satan is a fursuit you put on.
It doesn't like Jews aren't like the Church of Satan as like a vector of Jewish subversion is kind of out of date.
It's so gay. They made fun of it on Metalocalypse. They made fun of the Church of Satan as being these like skinny like twinks. Like, you know, it was so funny. Like, and that was years ago.
It's very silly. Yeah, it's very silly. And that thing being in that capital is also quite silly. And there was a time, frankly, when a judge or a town council or whatever would just be like, we're just not doing it. First Amendment, like, we're just not going
to
do that.
I wonder
like,
how far up the chain that
had to go. And your rights aren't being violated.
I would actually love to know what Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it. The legal history of this, like, how did it get, like, what, how far up the chain did it have to go to be like, yeah, you know what? Constitutionally, like, are you allowed to, like, everyone's allowed to have an idol like erected in the Capitol building in Iowa? Is that what it is? Like, no matter, like, whatever you're into, is that what it is?
Yeah,
like,
they're using the First Amendment to get that shit up there.
Can I put a Hitler statue in there? Like, you know, esoteric Svenacostalism. Like, we got to get like
they'll
like
say no. They'll find a reason to.
But
say
I have a religious attachment to Adolf Hitler, who lives in the future, and we're waiting to catch up to him in time.
So here we have clearly they've actually in their own way made like some kind of unprincipled exception for Satanism,
right?
Because they don't have to do it. They could refuse it if they want, and they don't. And like, what would they say? On what grounds would they argue to you? You cannot put a Hitler statue.
Attack at Satanism.
What grounds would they do that? If you're like, look, I worship Hitler. This is my deity. And I deserve to have my deity represented in effigy inside the Capitol building of my state. What reason would they have possibly to deny you that if they're going to allow a statue of Satan or some goat type thing, right? I can't think of one. The only one I can think of is some kind of like, it's really offensive to Jews. Like, well, Satan is offensive to Christians. So we're back to square one. So anything else?
Is Satan not offensive to Jews? Can you explain that to me? I don't mean you. I mean whoever.
It depends what book you're reading.
Mm. It'd be an interesting discussion. I thought we're a Judeo-Christian country. Everyone's not offended by Satan, just Christians? Jews are okay with him? There's something you're not telling me?
Again, it sort of really does depend on what story you're talking about. Because there's, of course, there's esoterica here, which I don't need to get into. But whatever, it's I don't.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was just saying I was examining sort of the kerfluffle around all of this. The installation permitted under state rules governing religious displays in a building has been debated and criticized by Iowa and national politicians. Presidential hopeful Ron DeSantis on Tuesday joined a chorus of Republicans calling for its removal, while others in the GOP said that, though it is offensive, it is a protected form of free speech. Governor Kim Reynolds called the display objectionable and called for Iowans to pray in response.
How did it get? Who put it there? Why was it allowed? Like, that's what is the application process for? I want to put a religious display in the Capitol building in Iowa. What is the process?
Well, you've got a satanic temple of Iowa, and this is their pagan idol Baphomet.
But why? Okay, so are they actually like a legit religion?
No, because it's Satanism. It's not legit. It's Satanism. It's stupid. It's like
I mean, according to the law.
Well, no, I'm sorry, Satanic Temple of Iowa is a thing.
Yeah, but you don't have to recognize it. You don't have to give it tax-free status.
They do.
They already did. That's why. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I love America.
The point at which they could have done that has passed, and they've done it. Therefore, giving effectively saddling themselves with a legal obligation to put that statue there. So here we are. So now we just have to go to Iowa and set up a Hitler church, and then we'll be set.
I think there should be a Baphomet on the American flag, to be honest.
Right. Well,
they should carve in Mount Rushmore. That's what we're about in America.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's like Pagan Gang who wants to yell that like Baphomet is really just a perverted version of a pagan idol Pan, and this is an attack on like our like Aryan bio spirit or something like that, but to call it Satan.
Low Pan from Big Trouble Little China?
Something like that.
Yeah,
Big Trouble Little Iowa.
Not bad. That might be.
But like, I don't. I know of those arguments, and there's even some esoteric suggesting that like Lucifer in the Bible is like kind of a reference to like an Aryan sun god, like an Apollo type, like an Apollonian figure or something like that. But I don't know.
Michael Cassidy was trying to be some sort of congressional candidate, and he failed, and so now he goes around knocking over Satan statues.
Well, that's going to get him elected, just like that broad that blew up the Georgia Guidestones. Oh no, she didn't. She was saying that they should go, and then somebody blew them. Yeah, yet another act of like sort of.
She didn't blow it up. She just like approved of it.
Yeah. Did she end up getting elected, or did she end up not getting elected?
I don't know what happened. She failed in her campaign. That's right. Yeah, she did fail. I remember talking about
she had some people. Like frankly like super kind of, I hate to use the term, but sort of like trashy name like Casey, like KAYCEE or something like that. Like, yeah. You know? Like something like, yeah.
It was like this performative political stuff that nobody with the brain actually gives a shit about.
Well, in some ways the Baphomet thing is one big fat show, all of it. The whole thing is performative on both sides, and it's kind of a bit of a retard slap fight, frankly. Not that you should have to like tolerate Satan statues around, because you shouldn't, but it's sort of just bait. Like it is objectively just bait. Like that's what that is. Like that is just bait, and that's all that the Satan people do is just bait and bait and bait.
Yeah. So this guy, he raised $20,000 for his legal fund, like, immediately on Twitter. Yeah. So, yeah, this is just going to be, like, another springboard for some aspiring wannabe Republican.
He's probably going to become some kind of, like, personality.
Yeah, and then he's going to be relentlessly Zionist and just check all of the typical boxes. But, hey, he's trending on Twitter, so there is that.
Damn, this is hard.
What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying. I'm in R teaching, trying to find that. I'll probably never find it.
See, I'm not on Reddit. It's the one social media platform I don't have any tendrils in at the moment.
The thing with Reddit is if you like want to find like answers on something, like Googling, usually like you end up at a subreddit, whatever like you want to know about. And that's where all the answers are. So I just said, so I just signed up for an account. So now I can just go in there. And I was suggested this teacher stuff about kids beating up principals. And I can't find. Oh, God. All right. Here we go. Students keep calling me a dirty black N-word with the hard R. For context, I work at a behavioral school for students with autism, emotional disabilities, or other disabilities, meaning that they're black. I'm a black male, and only to the black staff does this particular student call us out of... Man, of course you're a nigger. You can't fucking write to a point where it feels like it stems from a place of hatred. You dumb hard-R nigger. Yesterday, I was asked by other black colleagues about it, and they feel uncomfortable about the way she refers to us as well. But they said when they've brought it up to our director previously, we get told all the students are here for a reason, and it bothers us so much we can't handle it. The door is there. You can't handle autistic
dude. That's like really base.
Like you can, there's you can quit. You don't want to be called a nigger.
If you can't handle a hard R, like there's the door with a hard R.
So when I can't speak to my director, when the student won't be reasonably disciplined by the administration, what are my next steps? Like you're already in the behavioral school. Like that's the discipline. Like they've already sent them like to a different school where you just have to take it. I currently have a staff job. I currently have staff job hunting and God damn, this guy can't. This guy's a teacher. Take pay cuts because they don't want to continue dealing with that student with no consequences. Update: I'm in a private school program. For those who say I'm making it up for attention, I just wouldn't do that. What can I possibly gain for exposing information about myself and potentially have it traced back to me and lose my job for online thumbs ups? Please grow up. I would not do this for the upcomings. Yes, I shouldn't take it seriously. It's coming from a kid with issues, but as someone with a troubled background myself, there's a great degrading times. It feels like I'm working. You know, I'm somewhat of a troubled background myself. Because you're black. Oh, that's funny. Not the story.
I have somewhat of a plagiarized dissertation in my past as well. You know,
that bit
about them saying nigger all the time, that reminded me of this clip from the Boondocks that I've got timestamped right there.
Nigger all the
about
time.
About a teacher and his experience.
What I don't understand is that if it's so offensive to them, then why do they say it over and over again?
Oh. So Riley said the N-word before you did.
This is a parody of the guy that says, can you lend a nigger a pencil? Yeah. He's actually making fun of that exact thing.
Every morning, yeah. He calls me nigger. He calls the other kids nigger. He calls himself nigger all the time. Nigger this, nigger that.
Oh,
nigger,
yeah.
Please. Bitch nigger.
It's like
nigger,
the same.
Have you
it's the same.
It's the same exact thing.
The original.
It just has better audio.
Your mind, nigga, check that hoe. Nigga, you bullshitting. Break yourself, nigga. He says it so much, I don't even notice it anymore. Last week in lunch, Riley says to a classmate, can a nigga borrow a french fry? And my first thought wasn't, oh my God, he said the word.
Oh, you stepped over
it. The N-word. It was, now, how is a nigga gonna borrow a fry? Nigga, is you gonna give it back? I'm telling you. My inside voice didn't talk like that before he got in my class.
Now, this deal includes damages to the free.
Fucking great. Right. My inside voice didn't talk like that.
My inside voice didn't.
Is a nigga going to give the french fry back? That's pretty good. I like that. I like that a lot.
Man. The entire point of that episode, by the way, is that whenever some white person calls a black person the N-word, That black person has just won the lottery. It was literally the point of the entire episode. It becomes one big money-raising grifting campaign.
And you land a nigga a french fry.
But yeah, is a nigga going to give it back?
Maybe. Maybe. Anyway, I'm looking at this. I got distracted because there's a video of somebody in Britain, like, tearing down a Palestine flag off a lamppost and then, like, all kinds of shit popping off afterwards. These two people are fighting with ladders now.
As near as I can gather, in Britain, to be Zionist is, like, a socially approved kind of, like, high-status thing or something. It's weird.
In Britain?
Yeah. Like, their Zionism and relationship to Zionism, it goes further than America in a lot of ways. It's fucking wild.
Well, it was the original, like, the whole thing of, like, this country was founded to create Israel. Like, they did that in Britain, like, 50 years before they did it here.
Yeah.
Like, the Zionist first target was Britain, because when the Zionist Committee was formed in the 1880s, Britain was ruling the world. It was the most powerful country. And they got the Balfour Declaration out of Lord Rothschild and all that stuff, right? So, or they got the Balfour Declaration out of Lord Balfour, addressed to Lord Rothschild.
Yeah.
They were sort of the original, like, British Israelism was sort of like the original Christian Zionism. And now, like, there's British Israelism means something else, which means, like, the idea that Britain is like the real land of Israel. There's a weird esoteric sort of Christian identity type thing. Actually, they even have their own Christian identity there too, which also coincidentally started cropping up right around the same time as World Zionist Congress or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Douglas Reed, like I said, he gets a lot of stuff kind of weird and wacky, but this stuff he's very good on. This esoteric stuff he's good on. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. So yes, they do. However, though, the Britain has also been very sort of arguably like liberal on this issue, and you're going to get more. You're probably going to get more sort of, at least amongst the whites, you're going to get more people that are like pro-Palestine than you would in America. But most people in America just have no fucking clue. And I'm assuming that's the case in Britain too. And the younger you go, like the less there is.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to a guy over there about the Telegraph, because the Telegraph, it's like relentlessly, just rabidly Zionist, even right. though it doesn't really have any Jews involved. These are British guys. And he was saying that part of that is that if you reach a certain level of money and status, this is something you think you're supposed to do. Like, it's just part of the social culture. It's like, yeah, I gotta be a Zionist. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. It's the it thing to do.
Well, your ancestors were Zionists. All right. So this video is actually kind of worth watching just because it's funny. So, like, this is just kind of a funny video. I don't know if there's sound or not, but like. These two niggas start going at each other with ladders and shit in the middle of the street.
Wait, what?
So, this dude is going to pull down a Palestine flag from the lamppost, and a fight is going to ensue.
Well, this is a white dude? That's very depressing. It's like, yo.
Yeah. Bro. What is this nigger doing?
Hold on. What fucking kind of ladder is this, and what is he standing it on?
Dude, it's extremely looks like that's very risky maneuver. What
Jesus
he's
fucking
in.
Christ. All right, so he's got it pulled down. Now someone's
he's
getting out
grabbing
the car.
It, he's pulling it down. Now he's coming down.
Oh, okay. Oh. So that ladder was on top
of... Oh, man, it must
have on top of a bin?
Oh.
That's why I couldn't figure out what it... So he's got... Now that I can see, now that my eyes are working...
You can...
Will you fucking pause? I hate this fucking... player.
I'm sorry.
So it's there's just, a garbage bin. He's got something laid across the top of the garbage bin and is still listening to this version of the Daily Shoah? Still haven't subscribed? Please go over to therightstuff.biz/paywall, grab a subscription, and you won't be interrupted with these sales pitches ever again. Short little ladder set on top of that, leaning against a light, some kind of lamp.
Dude,
post
that
or
is
light
like
pole.
Very, very retarded.
And so somebody
like,
hops out of the car and just
that.
Shoves the bin and he just goes down in a heap. Is it really that important?
And you hear the person recording gasp.
But basically, he's using
he
a
actually
six...
doesn't go down though.
So he lands on his feet somehow, but he's using a 6-foot ladder to like do a 12-foot, and he's also overreaching the top of the ladder. He's like at the top wrong, second to the top wrong. Yeah. Oh, now he's going to try to hit the dude with the ladder. What is a regular like Razor?
Look, somehow this guy manages to get his hand.
Oh my god!
Ladder.
This is like Razor Ramon and the Heartbreak Kid right here.
He's got a ladder.
Oh, they got two ladders.
Ladder.
Oh, man.
So now it's a ladder fight.
Now we're pulling out the furniture.
Got a step ladder going against the folding ladder.
So we got the short sword and the long sword over here.
Right. We got ourselves a furniture. Just need a table to slam one of them through, and we're all set. Need a table. Perhaps some kendo sticks. What else can we hit? There's no chairs. Oh. Oh, you dropped your weapon, bro.
Oh, see,
there you go. That's what you got to do.
Okay.
You gotta,
now they've switched.
Get in close. now we've got some onlookers
pretty well
going over.
Fight scene,
this is a good fight.
Honest.
It's not bad. Now it's a battle of wits. Like who can get this guy gonna get in the middle here? They're like, oi,
is this guy gonna,
oi, mate.
Yeah, he's. Gonna
oh no!
Get
oh no! It's
middle.
A 2-on-1. Ah, oh. that guy was interfering.
It looked like both the guys.
Well,
that
went called
after
the,
him.
That's called the run in. Like when you've got a match going and think everything's fine, and then somebody from your faction. Comes in from the side.
Right,
that guy's music started playing while they're fighting, and everyone's like, oh, shit!
Right.
Here comes the Usos! And, that's how that works. That's how you book one of those matches. Then you have a schmoz disqualifications. Then you gotta have another match further down the road. That's a sellout of pay-per-view.
But I have to say, the way they choreographed the ladder switch was pretty impressive.
It was pretty
actually.
Good, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was not expecting that.
What you needed is one of them to be dual-wielding ladders by the end of it, and the other one's defenseless. That would be the shit. But I mean, the video cut off.
It would be difficult to do that. Yeah. You could dual-wield stepladders. I don't think you could dual-wield. I think you need two hands for the longer folding ladder. I don't think you could.
Wouldn't be much you can do.
Yeah, stepladders, you could easily just. You know, like that would be a good, you know.
I need some sort of like YouTube, like medieval warfare channel to examine this issue, dig into it.
Just like splice in the Star Wars kid with like the double lightsabers and splice that in. That is very funny.
Yeah, or just put like glowy laser stuff over it in post, and just and have like the boom, jing,
so on the subject of Palestinian flags and big fights, I'm still on the Reddit. I'm still on the teachers subreddit here. I feel like a student committed a hate crime against me today. I guess this student's going to be Jewish. I work as an ESL teacher in a very diverse school district. That's English second language.
So the risk of hate crimes is already like.
Many of our students from the Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Colombia, Egypt, Pakistan, Iran, Haiti, Senegal, etc. I enjoy it because of the diversity. Well, happy Hanukkah to you.
Yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Well, basically, it's like I enjoy that this institution exists in white America to destroy it. I enjoy the diversity. Anyway, today, like, as I was leaving the building, a student I had last year who was from Egypt yelled at me, "Fuck Israel."
That's not a hate crime.
That was at the end of the day, and admin is usually a little difficult to find at this time, so I went back inside and told security. One went to chase down the kid, the other escorted me to my car. Fuck Israel.
Why did you have a security guard chase down the kid for that?
What if he had said fuck America?
What if he had said, like, fuck you? You probably would have just, like, ignored it. Because kids would yell "fuck you" at teachers like all the time when I was a kid. So, like,
I plan to address this with the admin tomorrow morning, but I feel lost about it. Oh, I'm sure. As a Jew, you have no idea what to do about this. I make a point not to discuss religion or politics at work, but I guess if it doesn't take much to figure out I'm Jewish by taking a good look at me. Furthermore, I think Israel should be destroyed. No. Furthermore, I'm unsure. What sort of punishment they'll decide fits his crime. As long as I've known this student, he's always been pretty mild-mannered. I'm hoping they do more than a Saturday detention. Imagine getting Saturday detention for yelling, fuck Israel. Has anyone experienced something similar? Do I need to alert my union rep? Or just talk to the administration?
But wait a second. I'm finding it hard to figure out, like, what this kid did that's wrong.
Well, Poppy Vapes Meth responds.
Oh, he usually has a lot to contribute.
Poppy Vapes Meth says, saying fuck Israel is not a hate crime. The moment that becomes one is the moment that free expression dies to shield the geopolitical interest of a certain economic concerns. Now, saying fuck is vulgar. You should probably get right up for that. It was directed specifically to Jewish teacher. This is from Response Mountain. It might be subtle, but I'd consider it hate speech. Yeah. You can probably consider it whatever you want. Legally, it's not a crime in the U.S. That's pretty good.
Right, I mean, you consider it hate speech. Well, I don't care.
It's the amazing thing to me about all this is you've got like these retarded white shit libs talking about hate speech, and they would love to make hate speech illegal. And the first thing that's going to happen is you're not going to talk any smack about Israel whatsoever.
I like
that's the whole point of it.
So there's responses in this. A lot of helpful responses.
Let's check them out.
To clarify, you're sure this student knows you're Jewish? I feel like the big stress is to be like, I look Jewish.
No, it's not.
And expect that everyone has a unified vision of what that looks like.
You can count on, here's the thing, you can always count on like the Reddit libtard to like avoid the glaring issue in the room, which is like, this guy probably looks like a hook-nosed fucking heeb. And like, all the kids that are bad and behave badly in the school are black. And like, glaringly obvious things that everyone knows. But you're not supposed to recognize, like, the Reddit libtard will, like, innocently pretend to be clueless about the whole thing. Well, how could they know that you're Jewish? Oh, it's because of my beady eyes, my hook nose, and my weird smile, and my
giant milkers.
Teeth. And
I don't think fuck Israel is a hate crime is the same person. I don't think fuck Israel is a hate crime. It's a country with political policies, and we should be allowed to criticize it. That's where you're wrong, kiddo. At my school, saying fuck at another person is ISS for the period in which it was said, which feels fair to me. I think calling security for one-time verbal insult is ludicrously over the top.
That's a bit much, yeah.
And then she got 9 upvotes and somebody else saying this with the upward carrot. This isn't a hate crime. What Israel's doing to the Palestinians, that's a hate crime. Preach!
Ooh.
And worse, he should get OSS for dropping the F-bomb at school, but he has a right to criticize any country he wants. Again, that's where you're wrong, kiddo. You're not allowed to do that.
I mean... Yes.
When they keep committing genocide and murdering brown babies, it makes sense that kids would feel that way, but it sucks they took it out on you. Not really. It's good they took it out on you. Like, why
do they have babies have to be brown in order for them to be upset that they're getting killed?
Well, that's because other brown people.
We're talking about libtards here. Yeah. They are brown, but I mean, what if they were killing white babies?
Well, that's probably okay.
Yeah, I mean, we can assume so, right?
If they're killing white babies, you just side with Ukraine and defense contractors.
But I think this is sort of a subtle point, but it's worth making. Like, that person put the word brown in there. It's very conspicuous. They put it in there for a reason. They put it in there to sort of fit it into the approved box of it. Why not just say killing babies? Like, why wouldn't you just say killing babies?
But why should?
Well, I mean, I know the answer.
I'm also looking at the other part. Is like someone saying like shouldn't take it out on you for it. It's like, why not? Why shouldn't Jews everywhere hear the complaints about Israel to them? Like, no, you shouldn't be shielding that.
Why should this Jewish teacher not be made to feel uncomfortable about this?
Yeah.
Like, that's
why should,
how you, you know,
why
like,
should you feel happy about teaching ESL to like Egyptian students when you're an Israeli? Fuck you. The whole world hates you.
You're a Jew and you're there teaching ESL. And like, if you're made to feel like, cause again, one of the main things that was so disgusting after October 7th was how all these institutions were like, running and tripping over themselves to make sure Jews like didn't feel uncomfortable. And I'm like, why can't they just feel uncomfortable? I mean, I know the answer.
Yeah,
these are
true.
Rhetoricals, but you know, it's like, there's no reason that a Jew can't just have a Jew be like, I felt really uncomfortable because everyone's hating on Israel. And you say, that's tough. I'm sorry you're going through that. And like walk away. Or you don't even, you just say
just
like, well,
away.
Figure it out. Or you know what I mean? Like, or something like that. You just give them the corporate brush off and walk away. Like, that's, you know, okay. Like, why are you telling me this? You feel uncomfortable because people hate Israel? Like, that sounds like a you problem. Like, that has nothing to do with you teaching English as a second language. I don't know. It's just like, why do they, when Jews like whine and cry about feeling comfortable for being Jewish, it's like everybody is out there running to their aid. And then the entire media apparatus writes up entire articles and spends news cycle after news cycle telling you that this is a huge problem and nobody cares about the Jews. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. But yeah.
So learning about World War II today, this kid goes, yeah, Hitler. I respond with your idol is Hitler.
Kid?
Let's call him asshole. You're an asshole. You need to look in the mirror and change yourself because he was a horrible person. Of course,
he's just enthusiastic about Hitler,
and he says, "Of course,
like learning about Hitler."
Of course, this is what his mom
he's
responds
like,
to.
Kids, we're learning about Hitler. He's like, "Yes, Hitler, I love Hitler."
Yeah,
I mean, it would just be like, "Yes, James Madison, I love reading about James Madison."
Right, exactly. Like, this is my favorite lesson plan of the year.
Yeah,
I love this lesson plan.
I love this history. I mean, you got a student who's excited to learn, and you're mad,
he's engaged, as they used to say when I was a kid, interested. Alert and eager to learn. I would always get that on my report card. Until I mean, started
proper,
smoking weed. No.
The proper response would be like, well, I'm glad that you're excited.
Yeah. I'm glad you're showing enthusiasm.
Now, this child is being unfairly targeted by the teacher now. Of course, this is what his mom responds to.
Yes!
Not the email yesterday about him getting kicked out of class for being disruptive, or him doing less than nothing in class, or failing him every 6 weeks due to not doing any work. But Hitler comment was way out of context. FML, should I be worried? Or just let it roll off my back? Stop persecuting the Hitler lover in your class.
You should leave that kid alone.
He's probably gifted.
Let that kid be who he is. Mm-hmm. Let him be himself. Stop trying to police his behavior with unreasonable, draconian punishments. Stop calling security because your personal little feelings get hurt. No. You need to stop interrupting his learning and growth process. You need to support him in being who he is, who he really is on the inside. And that's someone who says fuck Israel and likes Hitler. And there's nothing wrong with
that. These are different kids, yeah. But yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm making them all the same kid in my mind.
I wish I could find the story about the fucking kid beating up the principal. It's just like too much.
So there was some Jewish teacher that like actually is going to go to jail for shit he said to pro-Palestine kids in his class. And it was on my fucking Google News, like, today, maybe if I just search, like, Jewish teacher, I'll get it.
Teachers, yeah. I need some reassurance on scabies. Like, okay, moving right along.
yeah, let's press forward on that. I don't really need that. Let me see. If I just do Jewish
which
teacher,
kids are,
I'll probably
which,
not get
which
what
kids are bringing the scabies to class? Found a swastika drawn on a student table okay. today. I'm just tired of hate that's going on at my school. I teach 11-year-olds. This shouldn't be happening. I'm relieved it was me that noticed it, not one of my students. Why? What do you think? Would they be get scared or something? I'm also left dreading trying to handle this while knowing my admin won't do anything about it. My advice? I have 8 total kids sitting at this table throughout the day, but I really only suspect one. How about just, like, let it go?
Okay, here's something that I don't know. This should be on this Reddit thread for sure. You need to look at this headline
okay.
and bring it up. Because this is where, like, I actually think
wow.
now we're getting into behavior where the teacher is really crossing the line. I think now we are getting into some very inappropriate behavior for a teacher towards a student. Like, I really don't think this is appropriate for school.
So we have teacher threatened to behead student over Israeli flag, quote sheriff's office. All right, then we got a video player that I want to go away. Got out of my way. A Georgia teacher threatened to behead a middle school student over dispute about an Israeli flag, according to the Houston County Sheriff's Office. Now, Houston's in Texas. These people are ridiculous. Houston, Georgia. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
The incident comes as tensions grow across the world between pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian groups amid fighting in Gaza. What about tensions growing, like, in Gaza? The tensions growing as, like, like, hospital stairs in, like, you know, in Gaza. Like, tensions grow as, are we going to get bombed tonight? Is Israel going to pretend that there's a military base?
I don't think there's any more hospitals in Gaza, dude.
Humanity. Well, then I guess Gaza's. I guess the Hamas is defeated then, right? Got all their bases.
Yeah.
The humanitarian crisis in Gaza has worsened as the Israeli military pushed further south, targeting targeting Palestinian civilians. Fuck you. They're not targeting Hamas when they fucking march to their city.
They're targeting all of them. Everyone. They just want to kill, like, yeah.
Benjamin Reese, a 51-year-old 7th grade social studies teacher at Warner Robins Middle School, which is about a 2-hour drive southeast of Atlanta. Like, why would you start at Atlanta and drive to this place? Who cares? Was arrested on Friday on charge. Hey, what's up? You know you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks. Charges of terroristic threats. Ooh, and cruelty to children in the third degree. Charges stem from a dispute that Reese had with a student on December 7th, according to Reese. As recorded by the sheriff's office, the student came to his classroom and told him that she found it offensive that he had an Israeli flag on display. I agree. He then told her she was being anti-Semitic. And she was
I don't think it's conducive. I think it creates a hostile learning environment for that teacher to have that Jew flag hanging in the classroom. That's really, particularly, you know, if you're not Jewish. Anyone who's not Jewish that's in that classroom, there's going to be a hostile learning environment created by that.
Whoa.
Because if you're going to have the flag of your race on display in a school as your race is genociding another race, I think that's going to make anybody uncomfortable.
According to the incident report, several witnesses at the school informed police that Reese was heard yelling, "You motherfucking piece of shit, I'll kick your ass, I should cut your motherfucking head off." You said this like a 12-year-old?
Yeah, like I said,
old?
This guy's really reaching all what, bounds
what,
of appropriateness.
What grade is this guy teaching?
Did seventh say, grade, I think it said,
yeah,
right?
So it's like, so you're telling a 13-year-old, you're calling
so
him a
this,
motherfucking
this
piece
dude,
of shit.
So this dude, this grown-ass man is yelling at a seventh grade girl, like, "I'm going to kill you and cut your head off." Like,
holy shit. The student also recalled the exchange she had with Reese the police, according to her account, which was recorded in the incident. Oh, all right, they wrote it down. She asked Reese why he had the Israeli flag hanging from his classroom. Reese reportedly told her that he was Jewish and has family members in Israel. The student then recalled telling Reese that she found the flag offensive due to Israelis killing Pakistanians. Based, I guess.
Maybe
13-year-old. Is this like New York City? Is it Houston County, maybe? Is it not Houston County? I don't know. I'm just uncomfortable. The schools issued a statement following the incident. All employees of the school district are required to follow the code of ethics for educators. If there is a violation or accusation of a violation, we will investigate and respond appropriately. While we are not able to discuss specific personnel matters, we can share that Mr. Reese has not been on the campus of the school since December 7th. Safety and the well-being of our students and staff is our number one priority. Oh, boy.
That is like...
I mean, he's a looker. He's like, that's the face. That guy literally looks like he has family in Israel. That guy looks like the cast of Seinfeld.
He actually just looks like...
a Jew.
He doesn't look that Jewy. I mean, he sort of looks Jewy, but he could just be... like, he doesn't look like anything particularly remarkable, frankly. The school did not disclose the employment status of Reese.
Right. For comment. The current conflict. Yeah, we know about that. We know about the current conflict. Yeah, we know about the military attack. We know, now we're going to pretend that there's... Yeah, the airstrikes are great, but the paragliding was bad, was terrorism, right? Yeah, we get it. And they just finish up with like a little summation of the conflict.
Right, right. Yeah, the most interesting thing is this dude telling he's going to...
I'm so tired of his gaslighting about October 7th.
Right.
Yeah, man, have you seen that they are basically admitting that they're now basically admitting that they did in fact kill a bunch of their own people on that
day? Yeah, no, that came out. That wasn't even that recent. Like, they were saying that, I think, back in October. Like, we actually shot a lot of our own people. That's where a lot of those casualties came from.
So there's a new article today on information – or yesterday on Information Liberation, which has been doing just fantastic work during this war. Israelis question if Hannibal directive was used on October 7th as army admits immense amount of friendly fire took place.
Mm-hmm.
The Israeli media is openly questioning whether their government exercised the Hannibal directive. And I guess that's the directive to – kill hostages so you don't they can't be used as bargaining chips by the other side, basically, is what so I guess the idea is cannibalism or some sort, right?
A very civilized directive, you know. This is what civilized first world nations do.
Here he goes. A controversial IDF doctrine that stipulates using maximum force to prevent kidnappings by all means, even at the price of striking and harming our own. As it's now being admitted by the Israeli army that immense amounts of friendly fire took place on October 7th. And again, here, I should put this article in the chat because this is something I noticed too.
Here's something I think about Israel. I don't think Israel understands how to run a nation state. I don't think Jews understand how to actually run their own country.
Well, it's not really a nation state. It's just like a little protected place. And one of the things I remember, pictures like this. So this is the parking lot for the rave. And my question here is, what caused that?
Yeah, really.
Right? Like, what caused that? Is it because we've all seen that sometimes when those Hamas rockets strike, they don't even blow up one car. They can't even make one car look like that. Now, sometimes they can. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just punch a hole in an apartment building and cause like a small fire. But we see that, just look at that. Like, I am actually, it looks like there's video. What caused that?
Yeah, I don't think the paragliders, like, with AKs.
I don't think the paragliders had the kind of ordnance.
That's a fucking inferno.
That's coming from helicopter gunships, Hellfire missiles.
You gotta have some incendiary
and other
shit.
Stuff, you know.
Like,
yeah.
Burn all that shit
artillery
out like that.
Even, yeah.
I mean, but thinking about this doctrine that they have, like, if you're a citizen of a country, and the promise of the military is, well, if you are captured or potentially about to be captured, we're going to fucking kill you.
Oh, that's a good shot. Wow.
Right. So those are the other cars.
Why are those cars like kind of fine? Like, so what hit over here?
I mean, maybe it was just one very big missile. Like, Israel has, maybe it was like one of those fuel air bombs that hit. I don't know. I can't say. But like, it's something big because it's a lot of damage. It's pretty uniform. Like,
that's
I don't know,
a lot of damage.
Know, unless it was,
you're up.
That's a lot of damage.
That's a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that.
I don't
this
know.
Is incredible.
It's just, it looks crazy to me, and I'm not sure that the. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the paragliders didn't really have any weapons that could do that.
Well, no, they're on paragliders.
So,
how would you carry them?
Yeah, how would you carry a bomb or
something
a
like that? Had to be deployed by
whatever.
Something that's meant for that kind of shit.
I mean, it actually looks like it was a thermobaric bomb that hit because they're the way they're destroyed. You know, I don't know, like, because there's no pit, there's no crater.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
unless
any
they all caught
stuff.
Fire or something like that, and there's just a massive car fire. But I don't know. Again, it doesn't look right to me. And again, I know we're doing photo analysis, but sometimes there's shit like that that's like. There's also like, you know, in some of these towns and shit, like houses that are just completely blown to bits, which we all know what the Hamas missiles do when they actually hit a house is they just punch a hole through it and cause a fire. They don't blow the whole thing up. So I don't know. But anyway, it says if Israel uses – this is a from Haaretz. This is an article in Haaretz. If Israel uses a controversial procedure against its citizens, we need to talk about it now. Did Israel implement the so-called Hannibal Directive, which allows the military to endanger a soldier to prevent them from being kidnapped at the hostage-taking incident in Berry in October 7th? The accounts of the only two survivors of the hostage-taking incident in Berry on October 7th give the impression that the Israel Defense Forces employed the so-called Hannibal Directive, with the people being held hostage by Hamas inside one of the houses in the kibbutz. Now, very early on, I remember testimony from some Jewish woman who was being held hostage inside a house and said the army pulled up and basically blew the shit out of the house, and she was lucky to – she and one Hamas guy survived, and that was it. And, like, all the other – there was, like, eight people in the house, and the rest of them died because right. The Jews blew the house up. So when implemented, the Hannibal Directive allows the military to endanger a soldier to prevent them from being kidnapped. Well, these are – I thought these weren't soldiers. I thought these were civilians, right?
Mm.
So you're using the Hannibal – like, is there any director that lets you kill civilians? I mean, they are soldiers. We understand that. But, like, yeah. According to a report on Channel 12 News over the weekend about the Berry hostage situation after several hours of firefights between Israeli troops and Hamas terrorists, we saw the use of light anti-tank weapons. A terrorist exited the building with hostage Yasmin Porat and released her. She said she was then questioned by police special anti-terror and told them that there were about 40 terrorists and 14 civilian hostages in the house. Eventually, Brigadier General Barak Haram arrived to take command of the area. When one of the soldiers remarked about the fighting, "Barak, it's a disgrace," he replied, "I know." Afterward, a tank positioned near the house fired two shells, one at the ground and the other at the roof. Of the 14 hostages still inside, two of them children, only Hadas Dagan survived. Porat's first public account of the incident appears 2 days later and was later verified by Dagan. Why are these two accounts? This is all from a Haaretz article. This was a Jewish source. Why are these two accounts, which appear to say that our forces rained tank shells and other fire on a house where Israeli civilians were being held hostage, not seen as earth-shattering? Well, because no one's really that surprised, frankly. Mm. No one's really that surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's pause for a moment here.
Yeah.
Fucking white
male.
I got a somewhat mangled package in the mail recently.
I don't know.
It's from D. Houston or D. Houston. I don't know.
Okay.
It says, "Merry Christmas. Keep up the good work." And the paper ripped off, and there's that old picture of Hitler giving some kids presents and whatnot. And says, and he sent along a couple of cookie cutters, and my wife, Mr. D. Houston, went ahead and made a couple of gingerbread cookies. I already ate one. I showed it on prep, but.
Oh, man, now I'm fucking starving.
I know. There's gingerbread upstairs. They got, like I said, they got a little mangled, so we had to straighten them back out. But this is the best we could do, so we got some nice gingerbread swastikas to munch on, to nibble on this holiday. So we just want to thank you for that. It was very nice. I wish I knew what else it says. Keep up the good work and but I can't, like, the whole... It was one of those things, you know, like the package was a wad of tape, and they smashed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was all I could do to get it apart and mostly in one piece. But we thank you. It was very nice of you. And we're going to enjoy those cookies. Several people will enjoy those cookies. It'll be a good time. So that was that. All right. No one's feelings, unknown thoughts, feelings. All right. I'm just
I was looking at the Hannibal Directive.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just still absorbed in this Hannibal Directive.
Oh, okay.
But that's fine. I mean, I guess they call it that because Hannibal is a cannibal. Is it after Hannibal Lecter? They're eating their own?
Yeah, I don't know. Could be.
Exactly. Or is it after Hannibal Barca? Like, did Hannibal Barca kill his own to keep them from
being hostage? It's like I missiled my own civilians with a nice Chianti.
Yes.
I raped your children with some fava beans.
I roasted my own civilians with fava beans and a nice Chianti.
You know what's kind of funny is this directive. It's sort of like the things that they claim that Nazis were doing, because it's like there's a written version. It's only accessible to like the top brass, and everything else is kind of like an oral law that you pass down. Like this is
right.
What
so it's here. Just, well, the Nazis. Picture. Remember, the Nazis all had mental telepathy. Right. It was like zapping brainwaves to them, saying gas them in like a really weird and like create a Rube Goldberg gassing machine that doesn't really work and doesn't make any sense.
The theory and operation.
One of the
like probably Rube Goldberg is like the only guy you probably could get gassed in that situation. Like one guy, and that would be it. That would work.
This is an interesting. They've got like 3 points here. During a kidnapping, the main task becomes to rescue our soldiers from the abductors, even at the cost of harming or injuring our soldiers.
That's just what that means is the state does not want the political fallout of a hostage. It's like, plain and simple.
I rescued you by killing you.
Well, no, it's basically because what they have right now, like the state does not want their hands tied by having hostages in enemy hands, period. Like that's what it is.
If the abductors and the kidnapped are identified and the calls are not heeded, a firearm must be fired in order to bring the kidnappers to the ground or arrest them. If the vehicle or the hijackers do not stop, they should be fired at individually, intentionally, in order to hit the hijackers, even if it means harming our soldiers. This section was accompanied by an asterisk comment emphasizing, in any case, everything should be done to stop the vehicle and not allow it to escape. Section.
Right, meaning like you could even shoot a missile at it and kill
just
everyone.
Just fucking shoot a missile at it if you have to.
Right, just shoot a bazooka at it. But see, the thing is that this is also like it's like a lifeboat scenario that Jews have concocted for themselves. And it's sort of like something that you see in a movie. Like how often do you see this sort of like a Mexican standoff or something in movies? Like I feel like this is
Hollywood.
Yes,
like,
that's what I'm
saying.
Listen
to this shit.
That's exactly what I'm
like,
saying, yeah.
In anticipation of the Gaza War in 2009, Lieutenant Colonel Shuki Ribak, the commander of the Golani Brigade's 51st Battalion, instructed his soldiers to avoid kidnapping at any cost and even made clear they expected soldiers to commit suicide rather than being abducted. No soldier in Battalion 51 will be kidnapped at any price. At any price. Under any condition.
Right,
even
and
if
you know
it means that he blows himself up with his own grenade together with those trying to capture him. Even if it means fire barrage the car, they're trying to take him away. So like that is literally Hollywood. Like the guy detonates the fucking grenade and takes himself out along with the enemy.
It's
that,
shit
that
out of like movie scripts. It's like one like there's also the shit where like the guy that's getting kidnapped understands that he doesn't want like his side to be handicapped in what they can do by him being hostage, and he kills himself, or somebody takes like the tough but fair decision to just shoot him so that their side can't be handicapped by having hostage or something like that. Like that shit is in movie scripts. Like Jews write about that stuff. No one else actually does that.
Here's another
one. No one else actually would be like, okay, one of our own is being held captive, so kill them. No other, like literally nobody would do that.
The minute Hannibal directive is declared on the radio, there are consequences. There's a fire procedure.
Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please, do so. We'll both be happier for it.
Procedure called the Hannibal fire procedure. You fire at every suspicious place that merges with a central route. You don't spare any means.
So that's what happened to that parking lot.
Yeah.
They just blew it up.
They blew it up!
So those Jewish drug addicts could not be kidnapped.
You maniacs!
And then they said that they massacred them. Yeah.
You maniacs! You blew it all up!
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like how to apply this better. Like
This of course is not popular with their civilian population for obvious reasons.
No, I would think for very clear reasons why this like wouldn't be popular.
I mean it is an insane policy. Like and think about it in terms of military recruitment.
It's like highly uncivilized.
Like, okay, you're going to serve in the military and if you get captured, you're not going to be a POW. We're just going to kill you. Like I
don't
want to join your military.
Right. Well, they don't have a choice.
I know they don't have a choice. That's the thing. It's the only way it works.
And it's interesting that this came into play. It seems like around 2009, after they would have already been sensitive about the capturing. They say kidnapping, but remember,
yeah,
wasn't kidnapped. Gilad Shalit was captured by Hamas in 2006, and they ended up trading him, and it caused so much strain. Like the fact that this dude was hostage for so many years and his mother was out there like doing a campaign, like what the hostage families are doing in the state of Israel today, like a campaign for the state to get her son back. And it was just like causing all kinds of turmoil in the state. And they eventually gave up 1,000 Palestinian prisoners for this one guy. And so they're like, we don't want to have our people taken because the pressure to get them back will be massive and it'll be a really bad look if we don't, and then we have to give concessions to the enemy when we do that. Mm-hmm. So, like, none of this shit is what we want to do. So, actually, let's avoid that situation altogether, kill them, and then say the Palestinians did it.
I saw this floating around yesterday, too.
The other thing is this. Here's another way it's really stupid. It's not just, like, an evil policy. It's dumb. All the Palestinians now have to do is present some kind of credible threat of kidnapping, and you're going to start murdering your own people, which appears to have actually happened.
That's a good way
on a pretty wide scale. Like, they can now use this against you. Like, they can use this against you and further undermine your credibility with your own people. Like, just go in and, like, look like you're going to kidnap some Jews, and then Israel comes in and just kills a whole bunch of Jews. I don't know. It's wild. Crazy.
So what is this here now? Exclusive, nearly half of all Israeli munitions dropped on Gaza are imprecise dumb bombs. U.S. intelligence mm-hmm. assessment finds.
Yeah, why would you bother, like, outfitting them with, like, guidance packages and shit like that? Just drop them. Who cares where they land?
Yeah, they're clearly trying to, like, apply.
It's just trying to kill as many fucking people as possible. I mean, it's obvious. And anybody that says there's some other, like, I remember there was a headline in the New York Times, like, last month. It was like, Israel's targeting procedures remain shrouded in mystery. I'm like, no, they don't. Stop trying to cover this shit. Stop trying to cover for this shit. No, there's no targeting procedure. They mm-hmm. just throw explosives into Gaza.
So intelligence assessment says that 40 to 45% of the 29,000 air-to-ground munitions Israel has used have been unguided. The rest have been precision guided. On Tuesday, President Joe Biden said Israel has been engaged in indiscriminate bombing in Gaza. Mm-hmm. Wow, it sounds like he's trying to cover up their hate crimes. I think it's been discrimination bombing. They're clearly discriminating against someone's race, and they're bombing them for their color of their skin. As for a comment on the assessment, IDF spokesperson Nir Dinar. He's near what? Nir Dinar? it's like a dinar with. Isn't dinar like a Iraqi currency? Told CNN, we do not.
Dinar is just. It's money in Arabic.
We do not.
It's near the money.
near money. He says, we do not address the type. Like a, he says, we do not address the type of munitions used.
Well, even in Spanish, dinero is money. Dinero. So, like, dinar and dinero, dinar. Like, all that's all that word is a root that means cash.
Yeah. I'm extremely surprised and concerned, said Brian Kastner, the former explosive ordnance disposal officer who now serves as the Amnesty International's senior crisis advisor on arms and military operations. It's bad enough to be using the weapons when they are precisely hitting their targets. It's a massive civilian harm problem. They do not have that accuracy, and if you can't even give the benefit of doubt that the weapon is actually landing where the Israeli forces intended it to, Kastner added. Ooh, the growing rift between Israel and U.S. We'd like to see more of this. We'd like to see more rifts. So, anyway.
There's not really a rift there.
Not really. They're just kind of like, can you please stop doing such bad optics? And they're like, no. And Joe Biden's like, okay.
It seems to me that I think all that shit is just fake. Like all the whole like we're wrangling with it's all just to give themselves some kind of cover for not.
I don't believe this shit.
I don't buy any of that shit.
This bullshit. It is a bunch.
Because all you could, if you really wanted them to change, just like tell them, look, if you keep bombing civilians, we're just not sending you any more bombs.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Like, that's pretty easy fucking step. That's never gonna happen.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
And so there you go.
All right, well, let's take our quick break here. I'm going to check. I should have a merchant minute today, but I don't know if it's there yet. Hopefully we'll have it by the time we come back. See you in a few. All I see are-